All right. Thanks, Abby. So I want to thank my dad for speaking last Sunday for me. We snuck away, got up to the mountains for a few days with the family, and great time, and hope you're getting a little time away this summer. Glad again that you're here with me this morning. And today we're wrapping up 4 weeks together on this topic of God's will in our lives. And if you ever around other believers in the Lord, you don't know what to talk about, you can always bring up the topic of God's will, because everybody has kind of interesting insight, perspective on it, something to talk about, something God's doing in their life, something where they say, well, I'm not quite sure what's happening over here, and maybe you're like that this morning, some things are going on in your life, you don't exactly know why, and you're trying to kind of discern which way to go from here. That's where going God's way comes in. And through this final message again today in our four-part mini-series, we're going to be talking today about living our potential in the Lord. And it's about following God all out in life, not half-heartedly, not sort of kind of some days and others not, but really maximizing our journey with the Lord and living for Him. We're going to be packaging, bundling the four messages onto two CDs. Those will be available starting next week. So if you have somebody in your life who's really kind of struggling, they're at a point in their life where they're wondering, you know, what does God want me to do and which way do I turn? It's a good 4 weeks talking about scripture that relates to that very topic. Now, today's verse we're focusing on is Ephesians 3:20. And if you haven't memorized that verse, you can of course, turn there with me in your Bible, Ephesians 3, where I am this morning, Ephesians 3, verse 20. And you may recognize it as soon as I begin to read it here for you, because it's so essential to living in the Lord. And really, I think, sort of seeing God mine the potential from our lives of what He wants to do in and through us. And it says this, "Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine, according to His mighty power, which is at work within us." Now, it's our takeout verse of the week. It's on a little card in the lobby for you. You can pick it up, take it home with you. The NIV, or New International Version, puts it this way, "Now, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." And a couple of thoughts for you today as we talk about living our potential for the Lord. The first is this, you have great potential for the kingdom of God. You have great potential for the kingdom of God. And our verse today says that God can do very amazingly, very incredibly, actually very unbelievably, more in our lives and through us for His glory than all we could ever even think of, all we could ever even imagine, all we could ever realize could be possible. And why is that? Because of His mighty power, which is working in and through us. Now, the topic of God's power, of course, is a related thing. We don't have time to get into that this morning. But rest easy to say this, that God's power is working in our world today. And sometimes we might say, well, where? I'm not seeing all these miracles. The miracle is in your life and mine for every believer, that God's power is working incredibly in the life of the believer to transform, to redeem, to make new. And that's not just that when you accept the Lord, you know, okay, old things have passed away, everything's become new, that's it, I'm done. It is a continual process God is continually doing in our lives. He's remaking us. He's rebuilding us, so to speak. And that's what potential in the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. I look at the formula this way, me plus Jesus equals incredible potential. And you can just plug yourself into that equation. And I would say very much that we are made for more than what we are now experiencing. We're made for more than what we're now experiencing. Three thoughts on this, that God has great potential for us in our lives. First, God made you special. That's what the Bible says. We have a God who is a creative God. Right from the start of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created. God created. So we have a very creative God. And that means that you and I are not a cosmic accident. We are not merely a byproduct of chance. or the arrangement of dominant genes by accident. We aren't simply the result of subatomic particles colliding, and boop, you're there. God says that he made you specifically to be you. Psalm 139 says, "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, O God, and my soul knows it very well." So God saw his creation, and what did he say? He said, "It is good." And of course, there's only one you, and God wants to use you in this world. See, God not only is making us new as believers in Christ for our benefit, but also for the blessing of others around us. And so we want to allow him to do that. We don't want to get in the way. And it begins by realizing God made us special. I think one of the things the devil wants to do in our life is he wants to tell us we're not special. We're one of almost 6 billion people on the planet. We're just a speck in the universe. We account for very little. Our life is as nothing. And those are all lies. God knows each of us full well, the Bible says. He cares for each and every one of us. And he has made you to be you. So be the best you you can be. And the way you do that is by letting God continually remake you in him. Secondly, and Sherry and I were at a dinner party last night, and we were talking with a young lady who's going into her senior year of high school this fall, and we were counseling her afterwards, and she was just seeking some advice for her life, and we told her this. We said, don't settle for less. She knew the Lord. As we said, don't settle for less. In other words, don't just come up with a plan for your life and say, God bless it, God help me achieve it, God make my life what I want it to be. Instead, go for your potential. Say to the Lord, Lord, I want your best for my life. I want everything you want for me. I want you to give me the life you intend for me. There is no greater calling than becoming all God calls you to be. Romans 11:29 says, "For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable." So don't kind of give up on life and just sit back and say, well, I guess this is it. Don't sit down and be satisfied or stop short. Keep becoming in Christ. You know, in the tech world, of course, we all get excited. A new version of Windows comes out. Why are we excited? Because some of the problems we've been having on our desktop are hopefully now going to be erased. And things will be better in our life for the programs we use because suddenly it's a new upgrade. And I want to tell you, right now I might be Mark 3.0, but God wants to upgrade me to Mark 4.0. And he wants to upgrade me to Mark 5.0, and he wants to upgrade you too. And I think it's sad in the Western world among so many believers in Christ, we just want to settle for Mark 3.0. We just want to say, well, I'm just going to be what I am now because God remade me. He's not done with us yet. Why would I want to settle for what I am now when God wants to make me more in him? Why would I want to just be what I am now when God says, I want to keep changing you. I want to keep conforming you to the image of my son. And I want to help you to bring me more glory and to be more for me. See, I put my ambitions out there rather than putting my ambition in the Lord. And I need to put my ambition in him and see that what he can do in my life will not just bless me, it'll bless the people around me as I let him remake me. And it's a continual process. See, believer, you are a steward of your life. And what you offer to God is your life. So, what will we give him? I think that we need to ask him to continue to make us the best that we can be. So don't settle for less. Then thirdly, keep a spiritual perspective. And this, of course, is important Colossians 3, 2 and 3, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. In other words, don't lose your focus on the Lord. Invest yourself in the eternal. Again, even as we celebrated communion a few minutes ago, the whole idea is keeping our focus on Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. So don't lose your focus. I think becoming who we can be in the Lord involves realizing we do have great potential, that we have no idea what God can do through our lives, understanding that our potential is a process, and then admitting that God chooses our future. Now, secondly today, I think it's wonderful to know that kingdom potential for the kingdom of God is not determined by earthly qualifications. So our verse begins, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more. It doesn't say, now to me who by my willpower will become more. It doesn't say that. Now to me who reads enough self-help books will always achieve what I want. It doesn't say that. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more in and through my life. See, that's why in Colossians 1 it says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. My hope to be more than I am now is not based on me. It's based on the power of God that resides in me. So all I want to do is allow him to release his power in my life. And so you say, well, Mark, I'm not sure God's power is working in my life. Then I would say to you, believer, what are you doing to squash his power? What is it you're doing to hold back his power from manifesting itself through your spirit, through your life? What are you hanging on to? Why aren't you plugging into the power that is available to you so that God can get inside of you and really remake you? I love these refurbished shows on TV, you know, the real estate channel. It drives my wife crazy. I'm watching it all the time. And it happens the same every show. They buy this old junky house and then they fix it up. And at the beginning, nobody likes it. In the end, everybody wants to buy it. Why? Because they invested in that old junky house. And secondly, they didn't leave it the way it was. They shored it up. They pulled out the mess. They redid everything. And when it's all done, it's beautiful through and through. See, if we come to the Lord and we say, forgive me of my sins, but God, leave me alone. I love my old junky house. I love the vomit in the corner. I love the dog messes in the bathroom. I just love the old wallpaper falling off in the basement. You see, we've got to just let him have his way with us. We've got to let him remake us. We've got to let him totally redo our lives. But it's great to know our potential isn't determined by our abilities, our qualifications. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says this, not many of you, it's talking about believers in the Lord. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Now, this is not to berate those of us who believe in the Lord. The purpose of this verse is to say that anyone who comes to faith in Christ is qualified for a brand new life, to have God continually remaking them. Because it's not based on our ability. It's based on God's ability working in us. You know, it's interesting that in Isaiah 53:2, there's a description of Jesus that is made. It says this about Jesus. It says he had no stately form or majesty that we should look at him. What that verse tells me is that many of our modern-day artists who do paintings of Jesus, and he looks quite strapping and rugged and just handsome, well, it's very kind of them, very complimentary to the Lord. But actually, Scripture tells us he really wasn't particularly special to look at. Now, why would do that? Why would God give his son to be born here on earth and not have him be the best-looking guy ever? Well, it's because God didn't want us to follow a virile symbol in life. He wanted us to follow him because we love him. Because we love him. Now, conversely, the children of Israel, if you remember in the Old Testament, they wanted an earthly king. They said, hey, God, all the other kingdoms of the world have kings. We don't have a king. And what did God say? Let me be your king from heaven. And they said, no, we want an earthly king. And what they really wanted is they wanted a symbol to follow. They wanted a human to look up to. So who did God give them? He gave them King Saul. And it says in the Bible about King Saul that he was head and shoulders above the rest. In other words, he was a good-looking, tall, well-built guy. And they said, yeah, he's our man. And I want to tell you something. King Saul was a royal screw-up. And that's putting it mildly. He was a horrible king. And he continually pointed God's people away from God and to the flesh instead of the spirit. Now, let's compare that with God's choice for a king, King David. And remember, Samuel the prophet was called to go anoint one of the kids there to be king of Israel. And David was out in the field with the sheep. And so finally, Samuel said, I don't think any of these sons are the right one. And do you have any more kids? And of course, David came running in, and he's just a little guy. And Samuel thought, that can't be the one God wants me to anoint king. But God said in his spirit, this is the one. This is the one. So remember that our earthly qualifications aren't what entitle us to be changed by God. God has a very different standard, and he goes deep in our lives. Okay, this can be encouraging to us because sometimes we think in life, I'm not very much. I don't have a whole lot to work with. I'm not really sure why God would use me. And the encouraging thing about it is that you don't have to have a lot of qualifications. You just have to give your life over to him. All right, so in closing today, I'd just like to sort of camp on this thought that God looks for great people. God looks for great people. And great really is kind of an acrostic I've created with those letters, G-R-E-A-T. And these are some qualities I believe foundationally God's looking for in us for him to really release this immeasurable power in and through our lives. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that God may strongly support those whose heart is completely his." And I'd say to you today, if you sense a distance from God, ask him to give you a heart for him, and you'll find yourself drawing near him, and he'll come near to you. But the G in great, I believe, is for godly. God is looking for those who honor him and who obey his commands. God is looking for those who honor him and obey his commands. So, believer, are you living an obedient life for the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, you are robbing God of your potential. I did not say you're robbing yourself. You're robbing him. Because every believer is here to glorify him, to point people to him. And, believer, if you're living your life for you, you're robbing God of what he wants to do through you for his kingdom. All of us are merely stewards of our life, the most precious commodity God has given us, and we are called to invest our life for his glory. It is not my life to live how I want. It is my life nailed to the cross with Christ, and now he gives me a new life. And he empowers me to live for him. He does not empower me to live my old life for me. And some of us just don't get it. And that's when you start seeing God take hold of your life and you see his power work in and through you. When you say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life here on earth, as well as when I get to heaven. God's looking for faithful people. You know, one of the greatest qualities of God is his faithfulness. Imagine if God was love, but he wasn't faithful. That's what we call having an adulterous heart. But you see, God is loving and he's faithful. That means you can always count on his love. You can always count on his support. And guess what God's looking for? Believers in Jesus who are loving and faithful to him. And you know what that is? When you're loving and you're faithful to God, you're obedient. So be godly. Secondly, the R in great is being revived. Being revived, being really spiritually energized in the Lord Jesus, having hunger for his word and being in love with him, being excited for his work, being aware of a world in need that you can invest in. Let me ask you, do you need a blast of enthusiasm in your life for the Lord? Go to him and ask for that. You don't work that up. You don't feel guilty about it and go home and say, oh, I guess I just got to try to love him more. You just dig yourself in a pit. You go to him and you say, Lord, give me a fresh love for you. Give me a fresh passion for you. Any of us in a long-term relationship, we know that there are days that are a little more humdrum than others. You got to revive that passion, revive that love. And that's one of the great things about new believers, right? They've got such a fresh passion for the Lord. And it's great to see that. And I'd say be revived for the Lord. And if you need a fresh enthusiasm for him, just ask him for it. Now, the E in great might surprise you a little bit. The E is for empty, to be empty. It's funny. I used to think that my job was to go to God, bring him everything I got, and say, okay, God, I'm ready to serve you. I'm ready to live my life for you. Look at my potential. And God says, no, no, no. When you're ready to dump your life out, then come back to me, and I'll fill your life up with me. It's time to dump our desires. It's time to make our passion his passion. So, are you finally done, believer, doing it your way in life? Are you done searching? Are you done with the fun? And are you ready to have God's kind of fun? He'll give you more fun. He'll give you more fulfillment. He'll give you more meaning than you've ever had before. You can't hold a lot of yourself and a lot of God at the same time. And when you start to love him more than yourself, that's when you're ready to dump yourself out. And here's the mystery of it. When you do start dumping yourself out and you say, God, fill me with you, he actually fulfills you. You actually feel full. And your life has deeper meaning and a fullness, a richness to it. So get empty to become full. It's one of the mysteries of God. And then the A in great is to be available. Now, this is why I always love this quotation by Woody Allen. He said, 80% of success is showing up. I think in the acting business, that's probably true. A lot of actors are probably late for their jobs. But I want to tell you, it's like that when you follow the Lord. 80% of success is showing up. That means if you just show up for the Lord, you already got a B. You're already a B. It's not that much further to go up to an A with the Lord. Because you see, many are too busy for the Lord. They're just filling their lives with themselves. And we've got to start freeing our time for the Lord and freeing our attention to the Lord. One of my favorite stories from the Bible is a story when Jesus is out, remember, speaking to the masses about the kingdom of God, and he's ministering. And so no doubt as he's expelling all this energy, and they have microphones back then, and he's having to project, and he's getting, I'm sure, hungry and sort of weary. And all the people who are listening, they're engaged. So they're not just relaxing. They're actually absorbing what he's saying. So they're getting tired. And they're getting hungry. They're getting engaged. And the disciples say, hey, we need to eat. And what does this one little boy do? He just goes over to Jesus with his little sack lunch, and he goes, all I got is this, but Jesus, you could have it. And I want to tell you, that's the idea of being available to God, believer. It's going to God with my little life, my little sack lunch, me, and saying, God, this is all I got, but you can have it. And what God does with our life when we really give it to him is he blesses it, and he empowers it, and he multiplies it, and then he blesses through it into the lives of many. That's what being available is all about. Sometimes being available means just volunteering. Sometimes being available is just showing up. Sometimes being available means taking time for that person who asks you an important question about God when it is the worst timing ever. Because that's what it's all about. Changing your plans for God's agenda and being available. And finally, T, and we're done. We got about 4 minutes, so I'm going to just go off on this for about 4 minutes. The T in great. Because without the T, it's just gray. You got to have the T on the end. And I want to tell you, from my heart to yours, the Bible teaches and my life experience urges me that there is just no way to see God's power truly unleashed in your life for the Lord to really see the substantive change he wants to work and continue to work in and through your life, all through your lifetime, without being teachable. Without being teachable. This is one of the keys, one of the great truths of life in Jesus Christ. That when I get down, he raises me up. When I surrender my spirit to him, he leads me in the way he would have me to go. If I think I know what I'm doing, he'll say, go ahead, go ahead. And I'll help you. I'll dust you off. But you know what, Mark? You'd be a lot better off just listening to me, just learning of me, just receiving from me. Now, let me tell you something important here. A lot of believers think that God is teaching them when actually what he's doing is rebuking them, okay? In other words, when we tend to naturally hear from the Lord as believers is when we're about to go over the edge in life, so to speak, when we're about to go too far, when God is finally warning us, you've been disobedient, you need to get in a line with me before it's too late. Before you suffer the consequences. And we think, oh, God's teaching me. No, he's not. That's called rebuking you. And we've all had times like that, right? Where the Lord's hand, kind of thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, right? He kind of brings us back into alignment with his will before it's too late. Or else we're responsible for the outcome. And it's because he loves us. He's a loving dad. He's given us a little SWAT. That's not teaching. What you want to experience is having an open spirit to God so that each day you would see the opportunities and hear from his spirit how he is trying to consistently, constantly teach you to walk in his way. I say, focus on me. No, not that. Mark, where's your mind right now? Mark, what's your priority right now? And he's doing that in our lives every day. And the more we really humble ourselves and begin to listen to the Spirit of God in our lives, the more we will realize that we are in a teaching experience with God all through life. You have to be willing to set your pride aside. You have to be willing to be stretched. You have to go through the admission of need every day. God, I need you to teach me your ways so that I will walk in your truth. You need to restrain those desires in your life that will get in the way with what God wants to instruct you in. And then you need to submit to him, to just be humble enough to listen and to respond. See, here's the thing, believer. The Bible says in Proverbs that he who rebukes a fool is not wise. God does not rebuke fools. He lets them experience the outcome of their folly. So, as a believer in the Lord, if you really want to go your way, he won't teach you. You're going to learn the hard way. But if you want to be taught of the Lord, he is ready to instruct you. Because you see, the Lord knows the one whose heart is completely his. And he's going to teach those who really are ready to apply what he instructs them in. You will never go far in your God-given potential without having a teachable spirit. Don't give up on your potential. God never will. You say, well, Mark, I'm getting older. I just don't know. Maybe it's too late for me. It's never too late. Joel 2:25 says, God can restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. And that's part of his unlimited power that he wants to work through your life. Finally today, partner with God in his plan for you. That's the secret to this, God's will in your life coming to fruition. First, the first blank we have in the notes, partner, because it is a partnership between you and the Lord Jesus. It's not what you do for him. It's you cooperating so that what he can do through you. And secondly, it's his plan for you, not your plan. You're going to convince him to follow you in life. The big point today is this. You and I, believer in Christ, are made for much more than we are now experiencing. But it's a partnership, and you have to do his plan. Dr. Henry Blackaby said, quote, to live a God-centered life, you must focus your life on God's purposes, not your own plans, end quote. And so God's ready to use us in a great way if we will merely stay near him on the road, which is his narrow road. And I love that it's narrow because that means I have to constantly keep checking in with him to make sure I stay on it. And if that's the road you choose in life, I can promise you it will be adventurous, it will be challenging, but it will be fulfilling and wonderfully surprising as you become amazed at what God will do with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in these 4 weeks talking about your will for our lives and Lord Jesus following you on the narrow road, we just want to say thank you that you have such an amazing plan, not only for our world, but for each of us personally. And God, that's what we long for, to have a life that counts for eternity, that invests in your things, the things of God, that supports you, Lord Jesus, because you've given your all for us. And that, Lord, is personally fulfilling because each of us craves that there must be more. And so, God, we just ask that you would help us to live lives that honor you. Not perfect lives, but, Lord, real lives, confessed and obedient before you.